The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
We were talking about a united national anthem, You Raise Me Up, and a number of people liked the idea. I agree with you, You Raise Me Up would make a beautiful anthem. It's time for change and an anthem that everyone can relate to. It would be all of us together, hoping to raise each other up. That's what it should be all about. That's from Bernie. Someone else says we already have one. It's called Ireland's Call. Some disagreement, but many people enthused of the idea that You Raise Me Up could be a national anthem for the whole island. Speaking of which, this week marks 100 years since the partition of Ireland and the formation of Northern Ireland. And to coincide with the centenary, our reporter Barry White has produced a number of reports looking at the future of Northern Ireland. This morning we're asking the question, is unionism ready for a border poll? And Barry joins us now. Barry, the conversation is happening. And we saw the poll suggesting that there would be a majority in both parts of the island for a border poll. But maybe that's because they don't think it has a ghost of a chance of passing at this stage.
Hi, Pat. Good morning. Yeah, well, firstly, whether or not Ireland moves to hold a referendum on unity in the coming years, I think discussing how such a vote might happen is a useful exercise. So essentially, the Good Friday Agreement states that the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland should call a border poll if at any time it appears likely to him that a majority of those voting would express a wish that Northern Ireland should cease to be part of the United Kingdom and form part of a united Ireland. And if a poll is held, there can't be another one for another 7 years. Now, while the Good Friday Agreement legitimises the mechanism of a border poll, it provides little clarity as to how the Secretary of State should assess public opinion, how a referendum here would actually work, and how a united Ireland would be negotiated. So while the Secretary of State is required to call a border poll when they see a majority in favour of Irish unity, it is not clear exactly how they should ascertain public opinion. Perhaps the most obvious trigger for calling a border poll could be next year when the latest census results are published. That it could show that Northern Ireland now has a Catholic majority, which really could happen. Or maybe if a series of opinion polls were to show a majority in favour of united Ireland, while others have suggested that perhaps a majority of members in the Northern Ireland Assembly being from nationalist parties, or a majority vote for a border poll in the Assembly could be sufficient triggers. However, Ian Marshall, the former senator who was the first unionist member elected to the Oireachtas since the 1930s, says now is not the right time for a border poll. However, he is open to one in the future.
I suppose the reality about the border poll, when we consider it, certainly people have started to talk about it. Whether it's on the horizon or not is another question. It will happen. It will happen sometime. But my fear is that in the absence of having the proper preparation for it, that you could create more problems than you solve. Because if you have a border poll without actually knowing what you do with the losing side, whoever they are, then you create more problems than you'll address.
Does it need to be more clarity on what the criteria should be for a border poll? You know, should it be next year when the census results are out, if there's more Catholics than there are Protestants in Northern Ireland? Should it be based on election results, if there's more votes for a nationalist party than there is unionist parties? What should the criteria be? When should there be a border poll?
Well, it's interesting because I think the criteria is set out as part of the Good Friday Agreement. And when we look at all these different connotations of what criteria would be best, I think you come back to probably the situation we have as is. Because you look at polls and polls will tell you whatever you want depending on which information you lift out of the poll. So I think you know, the nervousness within unionism at the moment comes from this thing about, we've heard this phrase lately of called inevitability politics, where you're going to have Irish unity, it's not if, it's when. So I think that nervousness makes unionists very hesitant or very reluctant to even engage. So from my perspective, I think you need to have an open mind and you say, let's look at the future and let's look at what everything would look like. And then after you've all that work done, that's the time then to consider a date and a time for the poll.
Is it a case that there's some unionist loyalists who just are never going to accept a border poll? They won't even take part?
For sure, because the reality is, by definition, a unionist is something who supports the union. And that's something that people actually need to learn to respect, because there is this attitude that unionism is negative, it's regressive, it's backward-looking, and it's inward-looking. And that's very much not the case. For lots of unionists, they want to maintain what they have and make it much better. But I think sometimes we've missed this in the conversation, that unionism is spun through this optic or this lens of two or three high-profile people in political parties in Northern Ireland, and it's much broader than that.
So, Barry, that's former Independent Senator Ian Marshall, and he says the thinking within unionism is much broader than a lot of people would believe. But he also said, Barry, that some people in the loyalist community will never accept a border poll. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, Pat, it is. And in some parts of the north where I've been, where there's a majority loyalist population, like the Sandy Row or the Shankill Road in Belfast or Carrickfergus or Newtownards or Ballymena, people in these places are unlikely to ever accept a border poll. In fact, if a border poll is ever called, they might even boycott it. And, you know, for the loyalists I've been speaking to, they tell me that their identity is about being British. They feel more of a connection to Britain than they do to Ireland. And I think sometimes a lot of people find that hard to understand. But, you know, if Ireland was to leave the UK, then these loyalists told me that they'll lose this identity, which means so much to them. Now, I contacted many members of the loyalist community who I had spoken to in the past for previous reports, and I wanted to speak to them for this report on the future of Northern Ireland and the possibility of a border poll. But many people got back to me saying they did not even want to talk about a border poll because they said that talking about it means that it could eventually happen. So they just wanted to push it away. They don't want to talk about it. But these people, however, in Belfast did speak to me, and they told me that Northern Ireland must remain part of the United Kingdom.
I think Northern Ireland is still British. I mean, that's the end game for everybody, that Northern Ireland remains British. I mean, Northern Ireland's 100 years old. Northern Ireland is a country. But regardless of if they call it the North or the Orange State or whichever name Sinn Féin, the SDLP and the landscape to it, it is a country. Its people feel its nationality. And they take that away from us. There's been wars over this.
There is talks about the border poll, and there's talks about the whole island going united Ireland, things like that. You know, this thing about united Ireland, it's definitely not something that I want to entertain. You know, it's changed. You know, obviously when you have something, you know, someone, you don't change it yourself. Someone's coming in trying to make a change, and you don't get the option on it. That's the upsetting part. You know, it'd be different if you had your own say, I want to do that, but we're actually being told, and that's an only a part of it.
No, it wouldn't be. No. I'd rather be part of the United Kingdom, so we, you know, rather than go into an All Ireland. It'll be after my time anyway, so we'll, you know, but I would rather stay as part of the United Kingdom, so we.
Do you think Northern Ireland's better off?
Yes, I do, yes.
Why is that?
There's kind of many complications in this, going into the south, you know, like, one, you're going to have trouble with tax system, flags, who's going to be leader and all this. There's a lot of problems going to happen, like, you know, but I would just like to stay within part of the United Kingdom.
It's interesting, Barry, so many of the people from loyalist communities say they feel British. I often wonder, the English particularly, do they feel the people of Northern Ireland are British? Because I don't think they do. Anyway, we've seen the riots on the streets of Belfast in recent weeks, and I'm wondering if a border poll was brought about, or any talk of a united Ireland was being broached with the unionist community, you know, would it inevitably lead to violence?
Well, I think that's the whole thing with this Northern Ireland protocol at the minute, Pat. A lot of loyalists see that as the first step towards Irish unity. And some 90% of unionists and loyalists fear a united Ireland could spark a return of violence in the north, according to a poll published over the weekend. The poll found a significant majority of people on both sides of the border believe peace will be compromised by a united Ireland. More than 2,000 people from Northern Ireland and here were asked if they thought peace would be jeopardised by the prospect of unification in the poll commissioned by the Sunday Life and Sunday Independent. So yeah, the fear of a return to violence is certainly there. However, anybody I spoke to in both sides of the community in the north last week and over the weekend, nobody seems to want to return to violence. But ex-loyalist paramilitary Simon Greer said he has no doubt there would be violence if a border poll was passed.
It's 100 years of our country. We're proud of that, despite the fact that many people thought we would never get here. you know, when you go back 100 years, many people thought Northern Ireland would be sucked into the orbit of the Free State, and eventually Ireland would be united, and here we are 100 years later. Things aren't great this year, obviously, but it will be celebrated, yeah.
Can you see another 100 years? How many more years does Northern Ireland have left?
Who knows where any country could be in 100 years. In 100 years' time, we could be looking at a reunited kingdom with the Republic of Ireland back as part of an independent British Isles, which I'm sure most people in Northern Ireland would love to see.
There is talk of a border poll in the next number of years. How do loyalists feel about that?
Well, if a border poll was lost for unionists, you just have to look back at the treatment of Protestants in the Free State or anyone who felt themselves British. You know, we've seen how they were treated. We know the history. You know, tens of thousands of people fled to Great Britain or to other places around the world. They felt that it just wasn't their country. They felt like outsiders in their own country. If that happened here, people like Arlene Foster might run away, but the rest of us are here to stay. And how do you think, you know, the people in the Republic of Ireland, how do they think loyalists would react if 1 million of us are trying to be subsumed into the Republic of Ireland against their will?
As a loyalist, would you ever accept a united Ireland?
No. I think you're looking at violence. You're looking at widespread violence. And the question that the people in the Republic of Ireland would need to ask themselves, are they willing to pay the price as what it would cost to subdue the guaranteed violence up here? Are the people in Cork and Kerry and Wexford willing to send their sons up here in Garda uniforms or as part of the Irish Army to go into places like Ballymena, Sandy Row and the Shankill Road and put down the inevitable loyalist violence? I don't think they are.
Would there be violence, or what would it be? A few kids throwing stones?
No, you're talking about 1 million people who are British citizens being forced into a hostile foreign country against their will.
It's interesting getting those views, which, you know, may not be extreme when you think of some of the views you hear from loyalist communities. But a bit unfair on Arlene Foster saying she ran away. She was hunted out of it. That's the truth of it. Barry, would anyone from the Protestant or Unionist or loyalist communities support the idea of Irish unity?
Yeah, I think some might, Pat, but it would be a very small minority. In a poll carried out by the Irish Independent yesterday, 3% of people from a traditional loyalist background said they would actually vote for a united Ireland. And the amount of people in Northern Ireland who identify as British is also falling. And we do know that a significant amount of people from the loyalist community, or the unionist community at least, voted to remain in the EU. So they may see the only way of being part of the EU again being by if there is a united Ireland. So there's a feeling that those people in loyalist areas have the loudest voices, and many would say they are not representative of the majority of the unionist community. There are a lot of more liberal and moderate unionists in Northern Ireland now than ever before, and that could be seen in recent elections with the rise of the Alliance Party, for example. And Pat, I've been speaking to Andrew Clark. He's a first-year student at Queen's University. He grew up in a loyalist area of East Belfast, but he says he is for a united Ireland.
I would be raised in what would be a loyalist area, which is, you know, it's a very, very passionate, very unionist area that you'd be very much in a bubble of Britishness and British culture, and there's a very alienised nature of anything Irish or outside of that, especially in Shankill Road where I grew up, and then the countryside where I moved to was also a very Protestant unionist area.
Now, having grown up in, as what you describe, that kind of loyalist bubble, you wouldn't actually vote against a border poll, though?
No, in the case of a border poll, I'd be supportive of it. I'd be supportive of more links north-south than east-west at the minute, for sure, because I feel no real attachment to, you know, British identity, culture, or to Britain, really. It's something that I just don't feel attached to.
Why is that, given, you know, you described what your upbringing was like? Why do you not feel that attachment to the UK?
I think it was a mix of... I remember the first instance for me was whenever I remember the riots in 2012 over what didn't make sense to me over a flag, and then sort of that arrival of dissenting voices, and I got very into history. And I think just that arrival of debate and conversation, I moved away from, you know, what was the default for me, which is, you know, unionism and loyalism. And that came mixed with this idea that, you know, Britain doesn't seem to, or the British government rather, doesn't seem to care about Northern Ireland, whether you're Irish or British. It's just neglected and deprived, and for that reason, it's just, it felt very far away to me because it didn't feel like anything to do with me.
We always hear from the loyalist communities, you know, the staunch loyalists. We see the rioting in the streets of Belfast recently. Are there many young unionists of similar thinking to you in Northern Ireland now?
Well, I would say that, you know, I don't think anyone who would call himself a unionist would ever say they'll vote for United Ireland. But I think there are a lot of progressive unionists who are very, very open to better relationship with the Republic of Ireland, better relationship with, you know, their neighbours and co-workers who are Irish. And there's so many unionists who are not reflected by unionist politics. And they very much are the ones who lose out or get accused of, you know, betraying the union or doing this or that just because they don't toe this hard line, almost dissident unionist line of thinking. And they're the voices that change Northern Ireland and have always changed it, but they always get left behind, I think.
Well, our reporter Barry White will be continuing this process. By the way, Barry, thank you for that report. Another one tomorrow, speaking to Northern Irish people from a Catholic or nationalist background in tomorrow's programme.